This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Hardbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
We are back for another big-time episode of Booking the Territory's Pro Wrestling Podcast, which this week features the current Wildcat Sports heavyweight champion, Shane Taylor, as he gets ready to defend his title this Saturday night, January 9th at Grace King High School in Metairie, Louisiana. We're going to talk to Shane Taylor shortly, but first we are discussing your emails, Facebook messages, Twitter topics, and all those good things. Helping me kick off this week's show are my co-hosts, one of them being the world's greatest wrestling manager from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, the one and only Hardbody Harper, and the other is the mentally irregular jackass that joins us weekly, Mr. PhD, who thinks he's smarter than the rest of the world, Doc Turner. Harper, you're out of the hospital now for a week. How you feeling these days?
I feel good, man. I'm about 90%, so.
90%? You getting some practice in, or you still laying low?
Nah, I'm still laying low.
Okay, I was talking about wrestling practice, not practice with the ladies, because that's how you got to the gym. Okay, just double checking on that. I figure you ain't been knuckle deep lately.
Nah,
you know
bro.
What I'm saying? Okay, all right. Just making sure, because Michelle Tafoya wasn't looking like her normal self. You know, when I saw her Sunday night. Nah, she looked like she'd been missing the Harper stroke of love. You know what I'm saying? Doc, what is going on, man? New year, new you, huh?
I'm ready to bury talent and shit on you guys.
That's nice.
You know, we got some feedback about burying talent, man. Well, actually, not we. Harper and I didn't get anything. But, you know, my buddy, and actually someone you know, the Manimal, he was checking the show out because he's going to be a guest in a couple weeks on the podcast. And, man, he was complaining about you, you know, burying people, man. I don't know what that's all about, man. You and Manimal got heat or something that I don't know about?
You don't want me to take that bone away from him.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Okay, we'll leave that alone.
Hey, Manimal, don't pull that thing unless you're ready to bang.
Slanging and banging with bones. That's real classy. All right, before we get kicked off, as usual, I got to give a plug to ProWrestlingOpinion.com. Make sure y'all check out all the good articles that Nick Jason Lopez puts up there as he reviews all of the week that was in the world of professional wrestling. You name it, he listed. Bottom line is, if you miss a show, he's got you covered. So make sure you check it out. He covers everything, including some of the indies. I also want to plug our most recent sponsor, AutoCentrics. If you're looking for a vehicle, my friends at AutoCentrics know the stress, headache, and fear that can present itself when shopping for a new vehicle. With over 20 years of experience in the auto industry, AutoCentrics has established a way to make the process fun, easy, quick, and enjoyable. They are a premier dealership in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Metroplex, and they provide a family-like environment with no pressure, and they are hassle-free as far as the buying experience goes. Trust me, you will love the buying experience there, and I'm confident you will love their industry-low pricing even more. They offer the same quality vehicles you can find at dealerships at a fraction of the price. They have a wide variety of lenders meaning banks fans, that offer industry low rates as well as the ability to say yes to everyone, and that means everyone, whether you've got a bankruptcy, a repo, a divorce, slow pays, charge-offs, all those good things, they will still take care of you. They're your one-stop shop for the industry low price on vehicles to financing to warranty solutions for every budget. Best of all, they've got Maseratis, BMWs, Hondas, Toyotas, Jeeps, Kias. They have it all. Give them a call at 972-866-4307 and make sure you use the promo code hashtag Mike at BTT sent me, and you can get a good discount from them. You can also find their contact information on our Facebook page, which I will be posting shortly because I didn't get to it last week. All right. So y'all ready to tackle these questions, my two grand co-hosts here?
Rock it out.
All right. So this is what we got, man. First question out of the blocks. Harper, this one's for you. It says, this is a dude. I don't know why he wants to know this, but Bradley says, Hardbody Harper, did you see JoJo when she was interviewing Vince last night? God damn, I'd like to rush up on that. What about you? Is she thick enough for you, Hardbody Harper?
That's the blonde-headed chick?
No, she ain't blonde.
I don't know who that is.
JoJo, she was in NXT.
I don't know who the hell that is, bro.
I'm going to tell you who she is. That motherfucker fine. That's who she is.
She must be so fine because she got Vince all flustered. Vince walked out and said, got out of his limo, looked at her and said, last week it was a new year. What the shit does that mean? I thought Vince was having a fucking stroke on the air.
Dude, he did. He got flustered, and Vince don't get flustered in his words.
No.
Now, he might mess up something in the ring like he did last night, but he got flustered, dude, when she said that.
Vince got jungle fever, dude.
Dude, he might. The way he was acting, he had me. I was like, holy crap, dude. She was fine, though, dude.
Yeah.
Doc, I know that's not your cup of tea, but come on, man. You can't tell me that woman ain't fine.
Okay.
You just, fuck, man. You're pathetic. Buddy wants to know, hey, how many shots of vodka did Vic Flair? He didn't say Rick. The email says, how many shots of vodka did Vic Flair have before he went out with Charlotte? I smelled the fumes through my flat screen. Doc, how many shots of vodka you think?
First of all, get his name spelled right. Second of all, what did I text you last night? And you agreed drunk Ric Flair is better than everybody else on the roster, so he can have as many fucking shots of vodka as he wants because he's Ric Flair.
Harper, did you see it? Or
I saw
flying,
bits and pieces of it. I didn't see that.
He didn't do anything wrong.
No, he didn't. He's just, you know what it is with Ric nowadays? He just looks like an old man that's always drunk.
Well, he's retired. What else are you going to do with your free time?
I mean, I'm not complaining. He didn't do anything wrong. I mean,
he did
I
look. He looked like he
way.
Wanted to drop that knee on Becky Lynch when she was laying in the middle of the ring, though.
He did look like that. But I mean, but Rick always looks drunk. But I think it's his reputation that precedes him too. Because you know he's got the whole limousine riding, jet flying. I spilt more liquor than you made last year. Persona. So when you look at Rick, you go, oh yeah, that's a drunk right there. This is Rick. I mean, I don't think he had any more shots last night than he would normally have. I didn't smell any fumes. That's just me, though. Kirk wants to know, Bo Dallas, Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, and Adam Rose, the social outcast. Sounds like some bullshit Doc Turner would book on his booking sheet. # mentally irregular. Yeah. Where was Sandow?
That seemed like really poo-poo.
I don't know.
It's like the Job Squad, bro.
That's exactly what I thought.
It's
when
the Job Squad. Come on, man.
That's what I thought.
Hey, Kirk, let me tell you something, brother. I would never book that unless it was to come over and quadruple team your mom. So I didn't like it either.
Wow.
They didn't like that. And the thing is for Dolph Ziggler, bro, it's like you win, you lose. You win, you lose, bro. It's like, what are you going to do with him?
I just think Dolph is so talented. Like, it just feels like you could do so much more with
him. You could do a shitload more with him
than what they're doing. He's got, think about it, Harper. He's got everything.
Yes.
He can work his ass off. Not only can he work his ass off, he's got personality coming out of his ass.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got everything.
He's got it all, man. I mean, he dated Nikki Bella. Come on, man.
He dated Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
There you go. Full package. He's got it all.
He's a stand-up comedian.
He is. If you watch Total Divas, you'd know that.
I don't.
It's
won't.
Very good. Yeah. It's good entertainment.
Yeah, me neither. I make out with y'all chicks.
You make out with chicks. Well, you're not married, so that's a little bit easier for you to get away with than Doc and I.
Speak for yourself, bro.
Yeah. Sounds like a man whose wife doesn't listen to his award-winning podcast, as Austin says.
My wife don't know I have a podcast. She just thinks I'm in here doing extra work at work, motherfucker.
Bullshit. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Who's this? Pez.
Pez? Pez Watley? He's dead.
That's real nice of you.
I just stated a fact.
Can you say the man's deceased? Oh, he's dead. He says, I hate Jericho. They let him come out and bury the New Day with some cheesy year 2000 bullshit promo. I bet Doc likes Jericho. He seems like the type of guy that Doc would like.
Once again, Doc, our fans are idiots. I thought that was terrible. And Jericho was cheesy. And let me see how else I can bury him. His clothes were stupid. His lines were corny. And it cut into the New Day time, which I enjoy. So there you go.
I think you're being a little rough on Chris Jericho.
Yeah, for real. I mean, he's a living legend.
He's a cheese dick motherfucker.
That's nice.
Wow. That's real nice. Well, let me read this one to you then, because Reed also said, Chris Jericho is always money, Doc. Do you guys think he will win the Royal Rumble? Well, based on Doc, which Doc just told me, I don't think Doc thinks he's winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't think the only way
he's winning that is if he's the only entrant.
He's not. He ain't winning the Rumble. I do wonder, though, what are they going to do with him and New Day? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have no clue where that's going. I guess it's a good thing because it makes me kind of want to see what they're doing, but I'm kind of miffed at, like, okay.
Jericho looked like the old guy at the club last night. His clothes, but his clothes were that jacket's played out and old. You can see the wrinkles on the side. He's in great shape for 44, but man, when you set him next to New Day, you can see the wrinkles. His shit was tired.
I heard that one in a while. It's Jericho, though, man.
Who cares?
What has he really ever done?
What has he really ever done except break a couple of walls down?
He broke the walls down
and bore everybody.
He did a commercial for Wildcat recently. Yeah. I just thought about that, so he must be doing something. I mean,
uh-oh.
He did the Wildcat commercial. He did everything but say, watch Hard Body Harper. Oh man, I'm actually kind of intrigued. Like, I want to see what they're gonna do, but it kind of scares me too because I don't like when they bring back the old guys.
I hate it when they do that, bro.
I wanted to know what New Day was going to show us when they got down to zero on the countdown.
Yeah, me too. That's like a mystery now when they got to zero. But no, I want to go back to that because I do hate that, man. I can't stand when they like
– Yeah.
I don't mind when they bring back the old guys to like give the young guys a rub and put them over. But, man, they don't always do that, man. Nope. WWE has a track record of bringing back the old guys and putting them over.
See, Triple H. Who's he going to beat at WrestleMania? That's what's best for his business. I mean, business.
And seeing Vince out there, bro, that's when you know they're hurting.
I know.
That's when you know they're hurting, bro.
How about the fact that Jericho got to get out there with his scripted promo and say, ratings need a boost and the network needs a boost, and here I am?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's always free. It's always free, bro. This month is free. This month is free. I feel like, why am I paying $10 for this?
Bro, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about it. They were like, so why don't you just, like, keep creating a new email address? Like, do they check the credit card that you put in? That way you can just keep getting it for free?
I feel stupid paying for it.
Bro. For real, though, man. It's like, damn, we paying. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe Doc's not paying for it. I actually got a question about that while we're going that way. But, yeah, no, I'm with you, Harper, man. It's like, I'm like, I'm paying for it. But, damn, maybe I should just put a new account number in or new email address in and see if I can get away with not paying for it.
Put in Vince McMahon at WWE.com and see what happens.
Reject. Hey, speaking of which, one of our longest listeners on the show.
Replace longest with dumbest.
No, he's not dumb. His at Thog94 on Twitter.
I was right.
Well, he took note of our hockey discussion last week.
Oh, really?
We were talking about a brother skating around without a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Thog actually said, TK actually said, before I forget, George, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, Laraquay or Donald Brashear, they would be the guys Cedric the Entertainer was talking about skating around without a stick. They're decent players, but they love to drop the gloves. I know y'all know what that means in hockey terms. Drop the gloves.
They want to fight with people.
Yeah. I mean, we Southerners, man. We don't know about that hockey stuff, but that's what that means. He said, also look up Willie O'Ree. It's a tragic story of a great player who was the first to break the color barrier.
So what?
In hockey. Hold on. But this guy, hold on. Damn, Doc.
For real. Why don't you look it up?
Y'all are wrong.
Man, I ain't trying to do no fucking research project.
Let me get through it. He said, that's my hockey education for the day. You want to see Doc in a hospital having put on a pair of skates. He'd break his ankles by himself within minutes.
All right, now that he's bored all the listeners, here's my hockey segment. What do hockey goalies and Jewish girls have in common?
What's that? Oh,
they both changed their pads after three periods.
You shouldn't talk like that.
Why was the leper ice hockey game abandoned? There was a face-off in the corner.
No.
How about this one? What's a pedophile's favorite part of the hockey game before the first period? There's my hockey segment.
Holy shit.
That's real classy.
This shit just went off the rails, dude. God damn.
The hell with hockey.
Bruh, come on, man.
The goon.
The goon was a great gimmick.
What?
You know, I could actually get the goon on the show.
I bet you could. He's probably.
No, I could. Well, you know, that's Wild Bill. That's Bill Irwin. So he's friends with Rod Price, man. I'm sure I could just put in a call and get him on the show, man. I'm sure. I bet you he'd do it. We can get the goon on it. That'll be our tribute to hockey if we get the goon on.
Yeah. Ask him some hockey questions.
He's a Texas boy. I don't know if he'd know anything about hockey. We got one more from Thog.
Why don't we just make this the Thog show? Why don't you have some quality control on this program?
He says, I hope Doc doesn't subscribe to the network because he's repeatedly said he doesn't pay for wrestling. Well, Harper and I just had this discussion. Yeah. So.
I don't have the network, so if I did it, I'd damn sure get it for free, though. It sounds like it's a hell of a deal. If I had shares of WWE stock, I'd sell that shit. Their big revenue generator is free.
Okay. Oh, Thog did have one more thing.
He said
people like Doc don't even realize that lacrosse and not hockey is the official sport of Canada. Did you know that, Doc?
I don't live in Canada.
Shit.
Y'all are just dumping on our listeners tonight. Damn, bro. All right.
Hey, maybe some of our listeners should subscribe to the New Year, New Me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, I hear you. Let's say, and the last thing Thog did tell me to tell you via Twitter is that the University of Alabama actually won more football games in Dallas Cowboys Stadium this year than the Cowboys did.
Hey, Mike, can you go tell your buddy this? Mike, can you tell your buddy this? Mike, can you tell you? Man, grow up and get a life.
Damn. Okay. Well, while we're talking about getting a life, let's make sure we have life insurance. And you can do that by contacting Jason Smith, your trusted Farmers Insurance advisor, who works in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and throughout the state of Texas. He can help you with all of your insurance needs from auto, home, commercial, life, and health in the state of Texas. Even if you've got Farmers already, still contact him and give him a call at 972.
Can I get a policy on my grow house?
I don't know if they'll write a policy on that, but I don't know how they would underwrite that. But contact Jason at 972-834-2516 and at jason@goodguyllc.com. Also, make sure you check out our friends at TNA's Wrestling Palace on Facebook and give them a call at 469-337-8537 for all your wrestling memorabilia needs. And lastly, do like our longtime listener, Adam, who I haven't heard from in weeks via email or Twitter or Facebook, and join Better Choices and lose you some weight.
He made a better choice and quit listening to us.
he took that New Year, New Me stuff seriously and found God and said, I'm not going to listen to these Jay Bros and all the goddamn cursing they do, right? But anyway, yeah, make sure you contact Better Choices if you are trying to lose a few pounds or change your life, because they are personal subscribers to that New Me philosophy. But the thing is, they don't make it a New Year, New Me thing because they live it all the time. Ain't that right, Harper?
It's a new day.
Every day.
Every day. Every day. All right. Now that we got the rest of our sponsors out the way, we got a couple of more questions we got to get to. So let's see. We have King. Guy's name is King, and he says the WWE should just keep Ric Flair in the back to do woo at people like Ron Simmons used to do the damn. Pauper, what do you think about that one, man?
It's sad that they still have all these old dudes just to jack up ratings, man. That's not good.
No, it ain't good at all.
Just think about it. The two guys on TV last night, Ric Flair and Vince, average age 69 years old.
Yeah,
for real, bro. And they always, you know, they're going to bring back The Rock for a week or Steve Austin for a week. They shouldn't have to do that.
Hey, speaking of The Rock, so you saw the announcement about WrestleMania. Let me ask a question, Harper. Do you think he's actually working a match the way they made that announcement, even though they didn't announce it?
I don't know.
Like, they didn't say.
What they
you
say?
Don't know. You know, he just announced that he's going to be there. And the reason I found it, the way they announced it, I know they're trying to, you know, fill that stadium because they got 100,000 seats to fill. But the way they announced it, I was kind of like, I don't know. It makes me think like he may be wrestling, but they just don't want to commit to it just yet, you know, because it'll mess up their angles or whatever they're doing. That's what I'm saying.
God almighty, you think how bad he used to be with all that ring rust. He'll be terrible.
Shut up.
He's the sloppiest thing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shut up. Harper, go ahead. Fuck him. He don't know what he's talking about.
Bruh, he's probably training right now. He's probably been training.
Oh,
for them to say something
it.
Like that, he's probably been training since the summertime.
Dude, he's got a ring in his gym in his house that he's bumping on.
Let me tell you this. He ought to be taking acting classes because I watched that show Ballers on HBO.
You watch a show called Ballers on HBO.
Yeah, he was the I'd say star, but it was him, so, you know.
Don't you ever give me shit about Total Divas ever again. Because Ballers does not sound like a good show.
But Total Divas does.
Very entertaining. Has great angles in it, too.
Angles. Looking at an ass and angles at looking at some titties. That's why you watch it.
I'm a married man.
You trying to watch softcore pornography in a room with your wife.
I'm a married man. I would never do that. Okay. Hey, Warren wants to know. No. I'm sorry. Got to get the chip and Amy Harper's girlfriend. Chip says, hell yeah, boys. Steel Town pulled it out like they always do. Big ups to the Jets for being the Jets and losing. I hope you losers enjoy watching a real team make a Super Bowl run. Well, first before Doc tears this guy apart. Hell yeah, boys. Steel Town pulled it out. Well, the only thing that should have been pulled out was your dad when he should have pulled out of your mom. But, Doc, I'll let you take this one because this guy's an idiot. I don't know why he keeps emailing every time we bury him. Maybe he likes getting buried.
Maybe he likes abuse. Maybe we should pour candle wax or cheese grate his nuts or something. He probably likes that shit.
I'm gonna send him an email and ask him if he likes torture. That must be why he, you know, worries and watches.
He gets down on all fours and spreads his butt cheeks while Bill Cowher comes in there and fucks him with his chin.
That's nice.
That's disgusting, dude. Damn. Go ahead. You want to address this guy, man?
Hey, my team did its work this week. We got to the fourth pick. Y'all's dumbasses came out there and won. Y'all didn't know it was supposed to be a work. Y'all's kicker weren't in on the work.
Well, here's the thing about that, to be honest with you. Even if we'd have lost, it would have only mattered one draft pick. And honestly, the way we pick players nowadays, Harper, I don't think that
who gives a
one
shit.
Slot mattered.
Yeah.
It really would have made no difference.
I've already got my draft prospectus done. I'm ready. I know where we're going in the draft, so
we don't fucking care. How's
I'll be ready
sound?
To break that down next week, so I need my own segment instead of Thog ruminating on what he thinks is important. I'm going to do a draft preview.
Hey.
Dallas Cowboys draft preview. That's going to get some high ratings right there, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how it works out for you. Amy does want to know, though, Harper. I think I'm giving up on Hardbody Harper. You don't seem interested in me.
What?
What? What? How about you, Mike? Doc, could you ever handle a girl like me? Well, first off, Amy, I'll pass.
Why?
I'm trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. I'm sure you're a very nice person, but I's a married man. And,
hey,
I pass.
Hey, what do you call a 900-pound woman with a yeast infection?
What's that?
A Whopper with cheese.
Jesus. Dave, we're supposed to be a pro wrestling podcast, and we get on here and talk about everything but wrestling. This is very, very strange. I mean, yeah. Okay, are we done addressing Amy? Amy, I'm sorry, but Harper, you got anything you want to tell her? I mean, I know she's Walmart scooter thick, so it's kind of not
bro,
really.
Bro, that's not thick. That's fat. Come on, bro.
Dip her in flour, dude.
That's not.
Dude, if you dip her in flour, you'd be able to find a wet spot all the same.
There it is. Look, I see it.
There you go. Just roll her around in some flour, dude. See, the good thing about fat ones is, I'm telling you, whether they're standing or laying on the side, it's all the same.
God, bro.
That's bad, ain't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I know. My bad, dude. I shouldn't have went there.
Damn.
Can't get that image out of your head. Where's this guy at? I got another question. It's a serious one here. Warren says, what will happen to TNA and ROH this year? Will one of these companies go out of business or maybe challenge WWE?
Are they going to challenge them?
Right. Yeah. Harper doesn't watch either one of them.
Oh,
so,
they're going to kick their fucking ass. I can see it.
Dixie's got Vince on the run.
Yeah.
Jesus. This guy.
All I know is 5 months ago, you were praying that Mike Mills was Jeff Jarrett's going to save us. How'd that work out?
I said, Jeff, please save TNA, not us. And it's basically because I think it's good for more promotions because you got guys that have more places to go. Guys have more places to work. It's a positive. That's what I'm hoping for. But
because the Jarrett family is known for generous payoffs.
Shut up. I'm not even going to go there. My thoughts on this. What will happen with TNA and ROH? Well, ROH is going to keep doing fine. They'll be all right, even though with the most recent speculation on the dirt sheets that I'm sure Doc Turner was elbow deep in today, ROH will be fine. And the reason I say that related to ROH is because of the talent exchange with AJ Styles and in New Japan and how they always exchange talent, and you got these guys probably – it sounds like they're going to WWE. Who knows?
But who are we talking about here?
Shut up. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Harper, he's playing dumb. You know why he's playing dumb?
Why is that?
Because I have not seen him all day, and that never happens. He's always wanting to book the fucking territory in my office and share his wrestling knowledge because he knows it all. All day, every day. It's all he wants to talk about. I didn't see him once today. You know what that told me? He was on his fucking computer like a fucking nerd sitting in his mama's fucking basement, sitting on there reading the dirt sheets.
I'm in my mama's basement if I'm at the same workplace as you, dumbass.
Hold on. Diet Pepsi going down.
Wow. Pepsi?
Yeah, like Diet.
Only the good stuff for you.
That's right, man. But my point is, you know, we all know what's going on with the speculation with the Bullet Club and all that going to WWE. My point is, ROH is going to be fine. TNA, if there's one thing I found out this year, man, they going to find a network to be on. I mean, Destination America, now they on Pop. Matter of fact, it's starting right now. Doc, I'm sure you got it on in the background so you can tell us who the surprise is tonight.
Nope.
But, okay. Well, my point is.
I don't give a
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't, because here's the thing. They might be like cockroaches and VD. They'll be around at the end times, but it don't make it interesting. And since they ain't changed the people at the top, it's going to be the same dumb shit on whatever channel you put it on. And I don't care if it's in this many homes. It's in my home, and guess what? It sucks. And you know what? You can call me a dick all you want. I want it to be good, and it's not. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Dixie can go back to the Ole Miss frat house and start servicing the boys, or she can
Shut up. Stop. That's not right. That's a nice woman. Why would you act like that?
Because wrestling got me all worked up.
I see.
Would you really hug?
Oh, no doubt, bro. Yeah.
For real.
No doubt.
Does she get Commander's Palace or 2 for $20 Applebee's?
Nah, she gets Five Guys.
Oh, that's even worse.
I let her eat the fries in the bag, bro.
Five Guys. Wow. Damn. And for everybody who doesn't know, Commander's Palace is a very nice establishment down in the Big Easy where, you know, it costs
you.
That's
J-Lo status. Come on, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hear you on that one, man. Ain't no broad I'm dating getting Commander's Palace. That's too much money. I take you to Commander's Palace. That's never mind. I ain't going.
That means he's getting it up the ass. That's what he means.
Grown ass man, dog. I ain't even approaching that. Okay. Long story short, TNA succeeds. They will find a new network, even if they don't make it on Pop. ROH will do just fine because they are. They seem. I mean, they've got their own station behind them, so it's not like
best
they need
roster
a home.
In the business.
Yeah, and then they got a good roster. I do want them to slow down and maybe sell a little more, but that's not gonna happen.
No,
it ain't gonna happen. It's yeah.
That's what I was telling Luke about. He's like, bro, that's their style, though.
It is. I mean, it's like that's what they do. I mean, 20 super kicks is part of what they do.
19th one didn't work. Maybe the 20th one is gonna do it.
Maybe, just maybe. But that no, you're right. That's their style. That's their style. I'm trying to see, Doc. I sent you the list of questions earlier, man. Did I miss any of them that we were supposed to talk about? I can't remember. I'm looking through the emails right now and or through the list, and I don't think I missed.
I got a question.
Man. Oh, shit.
And this is for you two wrestling superstars of past and present. Is Vince old, or does he have ring rust with his timing? Because he was not good last night.
He's old.
He's old, and he was already awkward.
Yeah. I mean, he's no freaking Eddie Guerrero. I mean, what do you expect?
I mean, I remember him flopping around like a fish when he got stunnered that time. But, I mean,
how long ago was that?
He got caught standing in the ring looking at a pinfall when he wasn't supposed to be in there.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If a ref would have done what he did last night, they would have been fired on the spot. He would have ran out there and fired them before the other ref could come out and do the 1-2-3. That's how bad it was. Because he literally looked at Sheamus when he was supposed to be knocked out. And you could see he's like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be out. And then Sheamus tried to cover and – you know, the other ref comes in and counts it, but Roman kicks out. But you could see it, man. He fucked it up. He messed that spot up bad.
Hey, them arms are big, dude. I bet he benches more than both of you two, Jay Browns.
I bet he does. And,
hell yeah. He ain't on the wellness program, I can tell you that.
Nah.
I bet his piss is the color of Mountain Dew.
No doubt in my mind. Dude loves needles. Let's just say that.
His ass is a needle hole. The whole thing. God.
I mean, Jesus Christ. He's buff, dude. To say he's 70 especially. God damn. Fuck, man.
He stopped. I noticed that.
What's that?
He stopped tanning.
Yeah, he did. He didn't want to look orange anymore. Okay, one final question before we start wrapping things up and send it over to Shane Taylor. We had a listener last week who said, I don't get it. You guys got a question about politics, but the things you all talk about is already very funny. Why won't y'all talk about politics? Let's hear what y'all think about Trump, and let's hear what y'all think about Clinton. I ain't fucking touching that with a 10-foot pole. That's all I'm going to say. We're a pro wrestling podcast. You want to listen to politics, go listen to Jim Cornette. We're going to leave it at that. They got enough bullshit going on in this world. Plus, I'm going to make my statement I made last week. It's all a fucking work, assholes.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Come on, man.
Dude, watching Trump is like watching freaking wrestling.
No, it is watching
the
wrestling.
The stuff he says to piss people off and everything.
Oh, bro. He's working heel. Oh, God. Well, depending on who you are, he's working. He could heel and babyface. That's a good thing. I mean, I don't say good thing, but that's the thing about it. He's working both angles. I mean, you know, depends who you are. You might think
Jim Cornette said, "I don't know what the angle is, but I can smell a work from a mile away."
I'm proud of you, Doc. You're quoting a great wrestling mind with that. You know, that's good of you. I'm very proud of you. Cornette gets it. You know, a lot of people don't get it. But, yeah, he's right, man. He's working an angle. Come on, man. Can't see that? See it from a mile away, dude. All right, before we get up on out of here and I throw things over at y'all, I got to just do a couple of plugs. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Mike504Saints, at BTT_podcast, at CJHWhoDat, even though Harper never, ever looks at his Twitter because I always send him stuff and I never get a response.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Well, I tweet at you to retweet it, but, you know,
hey man,
that's cool.
Hey, man, Hardbody, just put the phone on the back of her head, kind of on the neck, propped up on her back while you're getting it. It might be all a little bouncy, but you can still read your messages.
Okay.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And make sure you do what Doc said and give us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Doc, man.
If you don't know how to spell, get your friend. Well, you don't have any friends. I don't know what to do if you don't know how to spell. Just give us the 5 stars. We got 6,631 people that like us on Facebook, though, man. That's a lot of dumbasses.
It's 6,600 now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty damn good, man. Yeah. Shit. Fuck, man. I mean, you know, we ain't Steve Austin with a million, but. You know, shit, man. Give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, man. Go ahead and write it down and tell us what you think. I actually think you can rate the actual shows too on Podbean. I'm not sure. I thought there was like a little star gimmick that you can hit, but I could be wrong. Also, make sure, don't forget to send us, email us, bookingtheterritory@gmail.com. We appreciate it. Subscribe to us on iTunes, podbean.com, or on Stitcher so that you don't miss the weekly episodes. And then more than anything, when you see it on Facebook or Twitter, hit the retweet button, hit the share button. We appreciate it because that's how our audience grows. We're not working with a big old budget. Matter of fact, we're working with zero budget at this point. We don't get paid. Our sponsors take care of some things, but other than that, we're doing it all on our own. And when you send those emails, man, make sure you just bury Doc, because Harper and I love when you do that. Yeah. That's always a lot of fun. I got a couple of quick show plugs. Also, before we throw it over to Shane Taylor, like I said, we had on we had on Hood Slam's El Chupacabra last week, and he was talking about the January 15th show that Hood Slam is having in Reno, Nevada. Make sure you check it out. Go to their Facebook page, Hood Slam On, and you can find all the information you need about the show related to the Reno event. Hood Slam always does some crazy, crazy shit. And like they always say, don't bring your effing kids, because it's definitely not kid-friendly if you're going there. We also have January 9th, the big show, I almost said in New Orleans, Grace King High School, which is just outside of New Orleans, Metairie, Louisiana, Wildcat, 7 p.m., ODB, Brian Kendrick on the card, and, of course, the current Wildcat Sports Heavyweight Champion, Shane Taylor, is going to be on with me in a minute or two as we talk about Shane's career and some other things that are not really wrestling-related, but it's a fun discussion that Shane and I had, and we'll talk about what's going on and what he's got going on in the world these days. January 16th, Fire Lake Arena, Shawnee, Oklahoma. Just added to that card is MVP, and that's the card that's got Jim Ross on it, Scott Hall, Scott Steiner, EC3, X-Pac, Mickey James, James Storm, Chris Masters, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Jerry Lawler. It is super freaking stacked.
Did I hear you right that you were on that card too? Did you get booked?
I will be there, but I'm not booked.
You gonna be jerking the curtain?
I probably could if I wanted to, but nah, I ain't jerking no curtain, man. See, I'm not like some of these fucking turds in this world, Doc, that show up at independent cards and, you know, have never worked in, or not never worked, but haven't worked.
So
in
anybody
years.
That's a fan has to have worked. That's the great wrestler mentality. That's what, all of you guys are the same. If you ain't ever done it, you can't know anything. But let me tell you about football.
Let me finish what I was saying. What I was about to say was Harper sees it all the time, man. You got these jabronis who work the indies, and they don't even train. They don't work out in the gym. They don't get in the ring and bump, but they show up and like, oh, I can work a match.
Well, who's booking them? Dumbass promoters. There you go. They're the problem.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, you got some pretty dumb
I'll
ones
shit on
there.
That piece side of the card too.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I've been burying wrestlers for the past 40 minutes. Now I'm going to get on the promotion side.
Okay. Yeah, because you know all about that.
Solve
right?
their problems too.
Anyway, what I was about to say was Jim Ross is actually plugging this card on his podcast, and I'm going to be in the house. So can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see what they do.
You're going to offer him a hand job in the alley?
What?
Don't put it past Mean Mike.
You done? That's what I thought. Because that wasn't really funny. Jim Ross has been plugging his card. Big time card in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Make sure you check it out. I think that arena holds like 5,000 people, and I'm pretty damn sure it's going to have all 5,000. Doc is talking about going to this card with me, but
only
he's going to be relegated to the...
I got
to
get comped in.
You ain't getting comped in shit. We already talked about it. I'm going to put your ass on the spot. Doc is going to buy a ticket, and he's sitting at the very top while yours truly goes in the back and mingles with the talent. How's that sound, Doc? Yeah, because you ain't coming in the back with me. You can just kiss that shit goodbye. And then, so I will see all the wonderful talent at Wildcat this weekend, because that's the other thing. I'm heading down on Friday night to go see some of my old friends and watch y'all kick some ass. Harper, you got anything you want to plug about the show? I know some of the matches have been, you know, talked about already and have been mentioned. Like, let's see, Danny Flamingo, Corey Constantine, yeah. Vordell Walker, Brian Kendrick, Kurt Matthews and Bestia for the Revolution title. Iron Maidens, Katie Forbes, Amaya Jade against ODB and someone else. I can't remember.
God, yeah. What the hell is that girl's name?
What kind of fucking ambassador are you for the damn card, man? That's why I got you here. You can't remember
I met
the girl's
this
name?
Chick once. I remember.
I'm just just fucking with you. It's like, I don't know who she is. Shit. No, I know who you talk. I can't think of her name. Yeah. I've seen it too. But, yeah, man, Wildcat's going to do the thing on the 9th. Floor seats already sold out, so if you want to go, you're going to have to get a general admission $10 seat and to watch the show.
You cheap bitch.
Well, damn. Hey, Doc, man, Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nah, I don't think so. I think I'm tired of this.
You're so sarcastic. You're just an asshole. That's all it is to it. All right, Harper, man. Well, I guess I'll see you Saturday, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which one all of y'all right, is going to be on top in the 69?
Yeah.
What? 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 Oh, man. I'm surprised freaking Austin did not make an appearance on today's episode. You know,
Teddy, I'm stuck in the deer blind. God damn it. Get the Kawasaki mule and a margarita.
Margarita, shit. Hey, man, how fucked up you think they get in those blinds sometimes?
Oh,
I mean, you didn't
God, dude.
I mean, they're kind of hunting, though, dude. You might not want to be drunk,
dude,
when you manhandling a rifle.
I haven't been hunting in a couple of years, and I know... Oh, God.
I thought you were hunting every Friday and Saturday night.
That's right.
Well, we ain't talking about that.
Why am I the one that's got to set you up and keep your game tight? God dang.
I remember sitting in those stands being so damn drunk and God, yeah. If you're in a deer stand, there's a drink in your hand.
Dude, you don't seem like the hunting type to be sitting in a blind. Or a deer stand.
Oh, yeah, bro. I mean, we used to go deer hunting all the time. I'd climb up in a damn tree stand and sit there with the...
That seemed like some boring shit, though.
Not really.
No, okay. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just
they don't do that shit in a Gentile, bro.
Bro, I mean, my dad showed me how to shoot it. Like, I went with him once or twice, like duck hunting when I was like maybe, I don't know, 10 or 11, and this shit wasn't my cup of tea, man. Like, just to sit in a fucking blind.
In that,
hey, man, why would you go out and sit in a deer blind in the middle of nowhere when you could ride your bike down to the French Quarter and see girls dancing in the clubs?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, serious shit.
I mean, you know,
you titties. Go see deer antlers or titties.
Deer antlers.
That's just been my same decision. Would have been my decision at 10, at 16, at 25. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fuck. I mean, that's kind of why I gave up wrestling when I turned like 11 years old. You know, I went through that stage between maybe like 11, 12, and, you know, maybe 16 where I didn't watch wrestling.
Wrestling, I did the same thing.
You know why? Doc and I figured it out. Go ahead, Doc.
Wrestling is pussy kryptonite.
Bruh. Come on, man. You wasn't getting you no snatch if you was a pro wrestling fan. What you was going to talk to them girls about? Hey, girl, you watch wrestling? What's that dumb shit?
Did you watch Raw last night? Did you see when Yokozuna and Bret Hart?
Can you give me a stink face? What's that?
Right. That's my point, man. Oh, shit. Let me get up on out of here so I can throw it over to Shay and Taylor, man. We had a good time today. Harper, I'm going to see you this weekend.
All right.
Doc, fuck you. I hope I don't see you for the rest of the week.
Sounds good.
All right, y'all. We're going to throw it over to the current Wildcat Sports heavyweight champion, Shane Taylor. All right, y'all. Like I was telling y'all in the opening of the show, I got on current Wildcat Sports heavyweight champion and also somebody who's been doing some two-time. That's right. I'm glad he reminded me that. Two-time. Actually, Harper and I were talking about that. We were trying to figure out if you were the only two-time Wildcat champion at this point.
My first year at Wildcat, I've been very blessed to be able to make history. You know, I was the first African-American man to win the Wildcat title, and then I also am the first man to win it twice. That's one hell of a first year.
When did you make your debut with them?
I want to say it was November of 2014, either October or November of 2014. And so, like, just this past show in November was just about the one-year mark for me.
That's what I thought. I was at that November show last year, but I didn't know if that was your first time there. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't been to a bunch of the previous ones. I just happened to be in town that weekend in New Orleans. That's where I'm from. But I was in town that weekend, and I was like, went and checked it out. But I wasn't sure if that was your debut with them or not. I mean, I knew you had been, you know, wrestling before then, but I wasn't sure if that was your actual debut with them. Actually going to ask that. So that was your first debut show with them. How did you get hooked up with Wildcat? Because I hadn't heard your name. Like, you know, prior to that. And I mean, not that I talk to Luke all the time, but, you know, occasionally, we text and whatnot. But I had no idea you were going to be on the show that night.
Well, like most things with my career, a lot of it has to do with one half of the new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, Raymond Rowe. You know, he helped train me along with Jerry Myers in East Cleveland, where I'm from. And, when I moved down to Texas, he's been very instrumental in kind of shopping my name around to everybody around here and making sure that they knew who I was and they knew my ability. And then once they decided to give me that chance, then it was up to me to then kind of prove him right. Luke Hawks, Wildcat was pretty much the very same thing. Luke even told me, you know, straight up when I got there, he's like, look, the only reason you're here is because Ray vouched for you. So, you know, I expect you to live up to what he said. And so that's the pressure that I put on myself. That's the pressure that I expect from anybody that I work for is to go out there night one and get the job done and be who I need to be and be what I need to be. So it went from there. So I had that match. Luke came back to me, and you know, Luke is as straight up and down as they come in this business.
And, got that right.
And he came up to me and said, "You know what?" He's like, "You have a job with me as long as you want it." And that was the end of it. Like, so to have a guy like him, and guys like Ray kind of vouch for me my whole career and then prove them right and give them that sense of satisfaction that their faith is well placed is really the most important thing for me.
Yeah, I hear that. And you're right, man. Luke, I've known him for a long time, man. He tells it like it is, man. He don't bite his tongue for nobody.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, man. That cat there, he will tell it like it is. That's cool though, man. I wasn't sure, like I said, if that was your first one last November or not. I remember seeing you on the card. Sometimes I'll go on the back of the shows, but I don't remember going in the back that much for that one. Kind of just stayed out in, with the audience. But yeah, man, that's good, man. And like you said, first two-time Wildcat Sports Heavyweight Champion, first African-American Wildcat Sports Heavyweight Champion. So just keep it up. I know I'll get the question. I mean, we're recording this right before Christmas, mm-hmm. and the next Wildcat show is on January 9th. So I'm sure people will be like, well, why aren't they talking about who he's going to, you know, who he's going to face at the January 9th show? Well, it's because we just don't know at this point, but that's where I was going with that. I was going to say, does it really matter, Shane? So I'll let you go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, you know, I think January 9th, Wildcat is going back to Grace King. It's been a great venue for Wildcat. You know, the fans are still absolutely bonkers. Some of the best fans that I've ever performed in front of. I've been all around the country, you know, and been to a few different countries, and you know, there's no crowd like a Wildcat Sports crowd. That energy is electric, and people believe in what they're doing there. Not just the fans, but the guys in the back, and you can tell that when they come to the curtain. You can tell that when they're in the ring. You can tell that with, you know, guys like Luke and the way he talks about it to people and the way that he takes care of his guys. You know, there's not a lot of places like that in this business at all, nor, you know, even if we're talking about history, that, you know, there could ever have been like that, because this business is so, what have you done for me lately? And it's very, and it's a shark tank, you know, so it's very, very rare to have a locker room full of guys that honestly 100% want everybody there to be successful. They want everybody to be at their best. Not because they feel like, oh, well, if he's better than me, he'll take my spot. It's because, hey, if he's better, that makes me better. That makes us better. That puts more money in our pockets. That makes this girl bigger. And that's the attitude that Luke instills in his guys. That's the attitude that makes Wildcat what it is. And that's very apparent when you go to the shows. So January 9th, they go back to Grace King. And I'm sure it's already a phenomenal card. I'm sure they're going to be putting out a bunch of matches here soon, a bunch of updates as far as who gets the next shot at, you know, the Wildcat Sports title. It really doesn't matter, man. Like, it's not – that's not like a cocky thing or anything. Like, it really just doesn't. There's going to be – anybody that they put in front of me is going to be world-class. Anybody that they put in front of me is going to be one hell of a tough guy, you know. So as far as the preparation goes, it's all going to be the same. The only difference is stylistically, whoever they put in front of me, I'll have time to get ready for that. But I am, without a doubt, on the best roll of my career, the most momentum I've ever had in my career, in the best state mentally, physically, emotionally. And right now, it's going to take a hell of a man to take that Wildcat Sports title away from Shane Taylor.
I hear that. I can tell you who I'm sure it's not going to be, unless they're going to work, you know, do double duty that night. Mm-hmm. Like Ricky Starks and Carlos Socorro have been announced, and I think Shalmation Sensation, Danny Flamingo, and I forget who else has already been announced. But like you said, man, it doesn't really matter who it is. You're going to get in there, and you're going to do your thing and defend your title and come out winning. So, hey, while we're, you know, while we're talking about that, not to change the subject on Wildcat, because we plug them all the time, but I did want to ask you, and we'll get to the Ring of Honor stuff, but one of the things I like to do on the show is, I know it's a wrestling podcast, but I don't like to just talk about wrestling. So I know you're from Cleveland, right?
Yes, sir. East Cleveland, to be exact.
East Cleveland. All right. So here's the thing, Shane. Were you a Bone Thugs and Harmony fan back in the day?
Of course. Of course. Come on, man. Yeah. That's an easy question.
All right, dude, here's why I'm asking you that, man, because I actually worked the indies in the mid-90s through early 2000s. I mean, I didn't have a long run, but I did work the indies. Mm-hmm. And my very first entrance song, this is how old I am. I'm gonna date myself right now. My very first entrance song was Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Ooh, so, classic.
Yeah. And I'm still, to this day, you know, 20-plus years later, when I'm at the gym, man, I got Bone in my ears at least once a week. Because it's that good stuff. I mean, I can't even explain it. I mean, so much of what they put out was good. That's why I asked you that, if you were a Bone fan.
Of course, you were from Cleveland.
So I figured that.
And the funny part about being from Cleveland and like and that kind of – when you're from East Cleveland, if you're from Cleveland in general, people there have a different connection to their city than anybody else in the world has to theirs. I'm sure that you'll get calls, people from New Orleans care about, and people from Houston, that's all well and good, and I hear you, and I'm sure you have city pride, but there is no connection between a city and its people like Cleveland, Ohio. I don't care what anybody says. And when you have your guys and you have people that are your own to be that successful, it's not just music at that point. It's not just, you know, they're not just a group. They're not just a rap group. It becomes – like its own subculture, really, you know. And being from Cleveland, we really didn't know how big they were until like I got to start traveling. And even down here in Texas, I'll go, you know, I'll hang out and be at a bar, yada yada yada, and there'll be Bone playing on the jukebox. And not just like, hey, one or two people know the words. I'm talking about the entire bar, word for word, knows every song that's played. I'm like, how the hell do you know about this, you know?
Like, for real.
But they were that big. You know, they were,
man.
Global, you know? So, yeah. I mean, Bone Thugs in Cleveland are, you know, it's like peanut butter and jelly, man. They just go together. You know, it's just how,
man,
it's, how
I,
it
let
is.
Man, let me, like, this is how I judge their popularity. Like I said, when that came out in, like, 94, and I'm at, like, a club that plays – at that point, nothing but New Orleans bounce music, because, you know, I'm born and raised in New Orleans.
Right.
Like, you're literally at a club that's playing nothing but bounce music, and the only thing they play that's not some New Orleans bounce music song is Bone.
Yep. That's
that you. Was like that'll tell you their popularity. So I've been a fan for them of.
And New Orleans is a real city. Like, it's not one of these like pretentious fake cities. Like, you have, in order to be respected in New Orleans, you have to be legit, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes.
That goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, especially considered too. I mean, you think about all the rappers that have come out of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got heavy hitters that have come out of New Orleans.
Of course.
I mean, I'm not a Lil Wayne fan, but I mean,
right.
I give him his respect. He's, you know, he came out of the city and
right.
He's a big time artist. I mean, there's no other
Wayne
way
is,
to put it.
So. Wayne is Wayne. I mean, I just really know to describe it.
Yeah. You know what it is for me, Shane? I've gotten older, and I hate to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but like, there's certain things in my ears I just can't listen to no more. And I think that's more or less what it is with Wayne, because like, I can listen to some of his older stuff, but even then I'm like, it's just I've gotten older, and
the thing is, I'm 29, so like, you know, like it's one of those things too. It's a generational thing, man, because. Or maybe, like, I'm the last of the older generation, maybe, being only 29. But, like, the music today is so far off par from the example that was set before them.
Yeah, man.
You know, I'm a fan of lyrical music. be it rap, be it rock, be it whatever, whatever you do, you should be saying something in your music. Whatever yeah. message you're trying to convey is what should, you know, get that emotional reaction from whoever is listening to it. There should be right. some sort of connection there. And I think in the last 15 years or so, especially with music, they've gotten away from the artistic approach, and it's all based now solely on profit. What sells the most? What do you talk about that generates the most revenue? You know, you have guys like Lupe Fiasco, who are tremendous artists, tremendous, but still aren't at the top of the game like a Jay-Z or, you know, somebody like that, because that's not what they talk about. Lupe Fiasco talks about politics. You know, he talks about education. He talks about real world things. That's not as entertaining as talking about money, drugs, and women. You know, it's not as entertaining as talking about, you know, things that you're buying that you really don't own. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that, you know, people make more money telling people lies than telling people the truth, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the gap is. A lot of people now are just happy listening to lies. I'm not one of those people.
I'm with you.
I was raised smarter than that. You know, I was raised to think mm-hmm. for myself. I was raised to know the difference between what's real and what's not, you know? So I think that's just the main thing when it comes to music. Now it's, are you saying something, or is this more just club teeny bomb or stuff to, you know, sell records? Because if that's what it is, I'm changing the channel.
Yeah, it's kind of like wrestling. It doesn't tell the story that it needs to mm-hmm. tell. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not to say all wrestling's like that, but that's what it reminds me of. It's like, man, this is not appealing. It's not telling me anything that I would want to enjoy listening to. So, mm-hmm. I agree, man.
There's a niche market for all of it. You know, whether, you know, you like wrestling that's more mat based, or you like the high spot fest, like whatever you do, whatever mm-hmm. your cup of tea is, there's a niche for that. But when you get down to the brass tacks and, you know, the bare bones of it, what we do, you know, is supposed to do what you just said, you know, tell a story, you know, take people on a ride, you know, mm-hmm. on that emotional ride. And if that's not what you're doing, then you're failing at your job, you know? It may look great. You still may get paid, but it's not an honest day at the office if you ask me, you know, but that's just how I feel about it. You know,
that's right.
It's one man's
that's
opinion.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. It's a changing world. And like you said, it's the newer generation of whether it's rap or R&B music is just not the same. It's not the same.
You have guys that get paid millions of dollars. You don't even understand what they're saying. Not at all.
Not at all. It's noise.
Like, my dad, and they're millions. Like, what did he say? Like, rewind it. Still don't know. You know what I mean? It's just, it's insane.
It's just noise, man. I'm telling you. Exactly. It's the only way to put it. It's like, what? And that's the thing, man, because, you know, we were talking about Bone. As mm-hmm. hard as they were to understand with the way, because that was the thing that made them unique, the way they, I'll call it sing. It wasn't really mm-hmm. singing, but the way they rapped, it was mm-hmm. unique, but you still could understand it. Like, right. to me, I could understand the message. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
But yeah. That's good stuff. Hey, so you were talking about Ray Rowe and training with him and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Hey, how did y'all meet? Like back in the day when you first got started.
If I'm going all the way back, I met Ray Rowe my sophomore year of high school, and he was a senior at St. Ignatius, and we actually wrestled each other like for our schools.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I initially met him. And you know, he won the match. It is what it is. He likes to still brag about it, but you know, it's all good. but yeah, then after that, it was a few years had gone by. He went to Case. I went to Slippery Rock University. we met up again at a, I want to say, a Cleveland All-Pro show, you know, a couple years later. And, you know, just kind of like, just kind of caught up and all that. But it wasn't until about summer of 2006 where I really was like, okay, you know, this is what I want to do. I was done with school. And I was just like, all right, this is the path that I want to take, you know, and was very fortunate enough to have, you know, contact with Ray Still and for Jerry Myers, you know, J-Rock, the big daddy of destruction, give it up one time. I was very lucky to have, you know, to be in contact with them. And I was on a show in Painesville, Ohio, New Era Pro Wrestling. It's not around now, but I was able to talk to them there and kind of have them kind of take me under their wing, kind of show me the way of how to get things done the right way. So that's how that started, and that's how I got into the business.
Cool, man. That's cool. Yeah, I knew just maybe it was. Maybe a Facebook post or something, or Harper might have told me or something that, you know, Ray had kind of took you under his wing. That's how I found out. But and then I knew the natural connection. I mean, you know, when you know how it is, man, when you're from a similar area, you naturally have things in common where you connect with someone, you know, and that always helps. I mean, geographically and whatnot. Hey, do you know, being that you're from Ohio, do you know Tyrone Evans, Michael Tarver, too?
I do.
Okay.
It's a good buddy of mine.
I've had him on the show, man.
Have wrestled a few times too. Yeah.
Yeah, I had him on, man. That cat is cool as can be, man.
Cool as a fan.
Yeah, man. Man, that dude is so cool, man. We tweet each other all the time, mostly not even about wrestling, about college football, because you know he's an Ohio State fan and whatnot.
That's right, baby. It's all about OH, IO all day.
Yeah, well, I ain't going to say that, man. I'm an LSU fan.
We still owe you guys one, right?
Yeah, you do.
All right.
You do.
Yeah. I remember that game.
I do too, man. But Tyrone and I, man, we tweet all the time. He's a cool cat, man. He's another one, man. I had him on the show, and literally, Shane, 2 hours later, we're still talking.
You get him rolling, man. Like it's just
he's got
a lot of knowledge, man, a lot of wisdom. He's been through so much in life, you know. Yes. I mean, he was at the top at the top of the top, you know. And then you know, and I don't know the story, you know, firsthand like he does, but I know he had, you know, some problems and is bouncing back from that and is finding another path in life. And you know, that's a man that I really truly respect. For, you know, picking himself up by his bootstraps, not once, not twice, maybe three, four times, you know, and still finding a way to push forward and continue to get better and just strive to be better every day and prove everybody wrong. Like that's, as a man, you know what I mean? That's the motto that you set out to have is I'm going to be that guy. No matter what, I'm going to work harder than everybody else. No matter what, I'm going to be better, you know, every day. And my hat's off to him. You know, he's a hell of a man.
Yeah, I started talking to him. We started recording, and 2 hours later, we were still rolling. And when I tell you, I mean, he opened up about a lot of stuff, you know, happened in WWE and, you know, even beyond WWE. I mean, I broke it up into two parts, man. The episode was so good, but man, he's just a cool cat, man. I got nothing but respect for him and his story and everything he's been through in life and how he's battled back from it. I mean, that's how it should be, man. You know, not that you should fall on any hard times, but you know, to hear redemption. And I would say this, of all the shows I've done, the tweets that I got about the episode that I did with him was more than anything else of people that, you know, remembered him from Raw, remembered him from WWE, and only saw what they saw on TV.
Exactly.
And then after listening to the show, tweeting me going, I got nothing but respect for this dude now. Cause he didn't come across as fussing as much as he came across as, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is what happened. It is what it is. And it just being upfront and honest.
Oh,
and
sure.
It didn't come across as like sour grapes. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And he's another guy that's just real straight up, you know? And the crazy thing about being at that level is you don't really have any say at how you're perceived. You know,
right.
they package you one way, and to now millions of people, they just see you as one thing. They don't really get the chance to know the real you, or nor did he probably get a chance to actually show that side of him. You know what I mean? So people couldn't really gravitate towards him when he was where he was at, you know, but to have the platform, you know, on your show to sit down and really explain to people now and go, hey, this is who I am. These are the things that I've gone through. You know, this is who I am, and this is what I'm about. Now people are like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Like, well, yeah, of course you didn't. Like, there was no way for you to know, you know?
Yep.
And
I agree.
Yeah.
It was good. I had heard him on Colt Cabana's show, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how I got introduced to, you know, a little bit of the story. And then he just kind of expounded upon it more when we were talking. So it was, man, I like that, man. Because, you know, there's all, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. When you're packaged in that product, and this is not knocking WWE because I don't want anybody to think that.
This is, you know,
it's just reality, right?
In any form of media, like if you make music or what or however, like anything that you're – at the highest level that you can be at, you're packaged in a certain way,
right.
You know, and that's what they market towards. That's what they push. And, you know, there's really not a lot of say that the performer has in it, you know, because you belong to them essentially, you know,
it's true. I mean, you nailed it. You nailed it. It's true. Hey, but I did want to ask you, man, cause, Future of Honor, Ring of Honor, I had no clue until I saw the tweets that you and Keith were up there working and doing your thing. And I've never met Keith. I saw him. I was at a show in Arlington during the summer that he was on. So I've seen him before in person. Haven't met him personally. You and Keith, though, y'all doing y'all thing with Future of Honor, man. Go ahead and tell everybody about it if they haven't seen the video already.
Yeah, man. If you haven't seen it, you know, please go watch and like and comment. Hashtag, you know, PBK and watch ROH, FOH. It's basically what the Future of Honor is a platform for guys, for anybody really not signed with ROH, to have an opportunity to showcase their skills, you know, and show their fan base and show the world exactly what they can do, you know. And myself and Keith Lee have been teaming up for a little bit now. Still very, very, very young in our team together. I think we've only had about, you know, maybe 9-10 matches together as a team. But the individual skills that we both bring to the table are very evident when we team up. You know, we're both big, strong guys. Keith Lee is an absolute physical freak. One of the strongest people I've ever been in the ring with, one of the strongest people I've ever seen, you know, like, he, and incredibly agile.
That's what shocked me more than anything, Shane, because I've seen him in person, and I've seen a few videos of him on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And when he took that dive, I was like, what the?
Yeah.
You know, didn't know he could do that.
And this
I'm
is
like,
the thing. This
holy
is,
crap.
This is the crazy thing. Like, you know, I'm 350, and I'm agile.
Right.
I know how fast I am. I know how quick I can be, you know, from years of boxing and years of wrestling. I know my athletic ability. And to see a guy like Keith then go even past what I do is like, oh, okay, I have to step my game up. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, and like Ray will tell guys, he'll be like, you know, Shane is agile, but not like Shane is agile for being 350. Shane is agile, period. Like, bring out your 200-pound, like your 200-pound guys. Shane is, you know, he's faster than them. Like, it's just that level of athletics. And Keith was D1 football at Texas A&M, if I'm not wrong, you know. So he's just like, he's one of those guys, man. He's a physical freak. I I'll go in, or we'll go into the gym, and I tell this story all the time. We go into the gym. It was me, him, and Ray. And we walk in, and we were getting ready to do shoulders or something like that. And Keith, and the look on his face, on Keith's face, is like someone just like kicked his dog in the head. And I'm like, bruh, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean? And he's like, man. And like in the saddest voice I've ever heard. He's just like, man, the dumbbells only go up to 150. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what did you just say? He's like, I'm like, dude, shut up and start lifting. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, just grab one 150s and start pressing. Like, come on. Like, you know, but like, he's that much of, you know, he's just that strong. That,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's the dude is an absolute monster. And I'm like, what are you, like the average person on the street, even the you know, above average person isn't seeing 150 on the dumbbells. They're not even looking at it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's way down at the end of the rack. They're in the middle of the rack. They don't even go down there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't even visit down there, you know?
For real. That's cool. Yeah, he is, man, I mean, like I said, I hadn't seen that side of him when I've seen
mm-hmm.
him, you know, in person. It's like, and then I saw, watched the Future of Honor video with both of you, and I'm like, man, they're cutting good promos. You know, they're in the ring, they're doing their thing. I'm like, phew, they look good, man. It was I had no idea until I saw, I don't remember if I saw it on Facebook or Twitter first, but until I saw it, I was like, huh, I'll be damned.
Exactly. And that's years and years of hard work just to have the opportunity at that match, you know, was you know, I've been wrestling for 9 years now. Keith about the same, if I'm not wrong, and you know, to finally be, you know, at that stage, to have that sort of opportunity and to shine like we've been doing is just hard work. And it's, you know, just make the most of what we've been blessed with, you know, that size and agility.
Yeah.
And the way I see it with Keith, me and Keith have an understanding as a tag team, you know, he'll pick the guys up and throw them around and I'll punch guys in the face. You know, that's what we do. You know?
No, you gotta, when it comes to tag team wrestling too, you gotta compliment each other.
And exactly.
If it works for you, it works for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, he's a power lifter. I'm a boxer. And I've been boxing my entire life, wrestler. So, you know, I have a different style than he does. My style is more rugged and, you know, more straight ahead. He's got the, you know, speed and agility and the power to just toss guys, you know, 10 feet in the air. So we play off that, you know, and
yeah, you do what you do. So it's picking up steam, man. Cause I think I've seen you or him tweet it out, you know, that a lot of people have retweeted it. A lot of people have liked the video and sent,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
good feedback,
yeah, man.
I
mean,
Honor about it.
The response has been incredible, you know, more than we both could have hoped for. People have been tweeting it and Instagramming and all kind of stuff, you know, and Facebooking, and, you know, you'll have to excuse me because I'm still getting used to the technology. Like, you know, like my generation of kids, like, went outside and, you know, and played in the mud and fought each other and stuff like that. So, like,
right.
Like, so I'm just now, like, getting into the new techno age. But yeah, man, it's been, the response, you know, to Ring of Honor and from Ring of Honor has been tremendous. You know, people have been, you know, complimenting us and, you know, and telling us how proud they are. And I have to tell them all the time, like, this is just, you know, just a step towards where we want to be. You know,
right.
Nothing is in stone. Nothing is, you know, nothing in life is promised. So, you know, this is just a big, big step forward and the next step on the path to get where we want to be. And that is pretty much where Ray Monroe finds himself right now, on top of the Ring of Honor tag team, you know, of the tag team scene, which is, you know, as any wrestling fan knows, is the deepest and best tag team, you know, tag team roster on the planet. Like, the tag teams in Ring of Honor are second to none, whether it's
yeah,
the Ring of Honor,
are,
Tag
they,
Champ, War Machine, the Addiction, ANX, the Briscoes, Red Dragon, you know, Kingdom. Anybody that you throw out there is going to be world class. Anybody's going to be world beaters. You know, you say guys like Red Dragon and Kingdom, IWGP champs, you know, junior and, you know, senior, you know, respectively, you know, the Young Bucks, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, man.
If you run through Tag Tags and then have to remember the Young Bucks, like that shows you just, you know, the kind of talent that you're working with.
The division is, this is how deep the division is. Like at Final Battle, you know, you had the three-way tag match for the mm-hmm. number one contenders, and then you had the tag match for the title belt. So mm-hmm. I mean, you got five solid teams just right mm-hmm. there. And so that goes to show you, I mean, most promotions in themselves couldn't produce five solid.
You mean one, maybe two. One,
right.
Maybe two.
You know, so
you know,
when you got five solid ones in that promotion who, and when we say solid, we mean legit solid. You can
exactly.
look at any of those and go, man, any one of these teams is talented. I mean, and they all like so different. I mean, to the point you make. So because I look at like Ray Rowe and Hanson. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have their own look and own style. And then you got, you know, the Young Bucks all the way down to, you know, Red Titus and Kenny King. I mean, it's all different. So. Yeah, man, you're right. It is stacked. You were talking about, you know, getting the opportunity with Ring of Honor. It's funny because I was I talked to Beer City Bruiser last week, and his episode is going to air in the future, and he was talking about the same thing. You know, he went to a trial camp, you know, paid his money, went to a trial camp, and you're talking about a dude who had then, I can't remember if it was 15 years at that point. I mean, 15, 16 years in the business, and, you know, finally getting that break because he went to a trial camp, and now he's, you know, doing Ring of Honor TV and on the main roster. So
exactly. And then,
yeah,
and
man, a lot of people don't realize that. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. They think it happens overnight. It's
exactly.
Like,
and exactly. And it's and that's another thing when we talk about perception, you know, like a lot of people, especially the general populace, only know one type of wrestling. They only know one thing. So it doesn't come across to them. You know, the message isn't conveyed, it's just how difficult it is to be a professional wrestler and to make this your living and to make this your job and to have this provide for your family. And the steps that you take to do this, the nights on the road, the nights in your car, the nights in hotels, you know, the bumps and bruises, the lacerations, the broken bones, all the stuff that we go through being wrestlers, because we love what we do and we love this business and we love this art form. We love, you know, the grind of succeeding, you know, and being challenged and overcoming that, you know, that's what drives us all, you know. And you have a guy like Beer City Bruiser who's been, you know, 15 or 16 years in, you know, been all over the place, but just never really got the opportunity, you know, to shine on a big stage. And,
yep.
It you know, it tells a lot to his character to be able to, when he got the chance, to make the most of it. And you see,
right.
You see, like, and he's doing it now, you know, Ring of Honor TV, you know, week after week, I'm watching it. I see Beer City Bruises, Silas Young and the boys, you know,
right. Exactly.
Every week, you know,
it goes to show you, man, like in his example, all those years finally, you know, paying off. It's just stuck
mm-hmm.
with it, kept on after it, kept training, kept doing his thing. And it just, what I like about somebody like him and even you and Keith, it's not the same as the look is not that, you know, muscle bound freak that
oh, for sure.
WWE would only hire in like the late 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's more thankfully where now guys who, you know, aren't built like Greek gods or chiseled
mm-hmm.
whatnot, they now have an opportunity because, I mean, I'm sorry, but a body type is only one part of it. That's
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
There's so many,
and
if that was the case, Dusty Rhodes would have never, you know, made it big back in the day. So
and you know, a lot of people, when they talk about, you know, my and Keith's, you know, name as a tag team, we went with Pretty Boy Killers for that exact reason, because, and, you know, throughout both of our careers have been very parallel, you know, in ring work, you know, has been solid, microphone skills solid, but the one drawback we both had was we're just not what we're looking for, you know, that type of look. And I sat and I thought to myself, like, is this a sport? Is this a competition? Or are we looking to see who, you know, looks best in baby oil? You know what I mean? Like, you know, Vader didn't have a six pack, but he was beating guys' asses. You know, like Stan Hansen didn't have a six pack, but he was knocking people out with lariats. You know what I mean? Like, so the pattern has been there, and the blueprint has been there for bigger guys to be able to be charismatic, to be masters of their craft, and to entertain and draw money. Guys like Dusty Rhodes, just like you mentioned, you know, guys that, you know, that you look at and go, yeah, he's not 6'5 and jacked to the gills and, you know, got a 20 pack, but damn, the guy's drawing money. He connected to the people, you know? And that was my and Keith's mindset. It was like, man, like, we're not pretty boys. Like, we're not, you know what I mean? We're not going to go out there and slick our hair back and do all this stuff and get all oiled up and stand there for people to gawk at. Like, we're here to do a job. We're here to do a job, and we're going to punch you in the mouth. Keith's going to throw you somewhere, probably jump on you from really high, and then we're going to pin you and we're going to go get your checks. That's what we're going to do, you know? And there's really no other way to go about it for us. You know, we've both proven ourselves outside of wrestling as far as, you know, athletics go. So we know what we're capable of doing in an athletic contest. You know, we're both very, very confident in the skills that we bring. And now you put us together, regardless of how you think a pro wrestler should look, regardless of how you think a pro wrestler, you know, that stereotype of what you think it is. Like, this isn't the 80s. This isn't the 90s. This is 2015. Damn near 2016, you know? And I think a lot of places too, you know, are losing fans because they refuse to let go of that mold. They refuse to let go of that ideology that they have to look like this and they have to do this and this is what we need. This is what it's going to draw. And the fans that they have are smarter than that now, that they realize who is legit and who is just another cookie cutter copy pushed by the machine. Like, they understand, you know, they can look and go, hey, that's just like the million other guys you put out. That's just like the 20,000 other guys that walked down the ramp, that said the same thing, that did the same thing. But when you have different companies that put out a different product, people resonate with that because they go, hey, that's real. That I can identify with. That is what I like, you know?
Yep.
Like, I want a kid or whoever, whether it be a kid, grown man, whatever, to look at me and go, damn, Shane doesn't have a say in his back. But damn, did you see him move? Damn, did you see the athleticism on that guy? I can do that. I don't have to pigeonhole myself to look like this. If I don't look like this, then my dream's not dead. I can still go out and achieve something. I can still go out and be great. That is what I want people to see when they see me and Keith. Now, whether you boo us or not, or you cheer us or not, makes no difference to me. Like, we may not always be your favorite people, you know, but the message is still the same, you know, and what we do is still the same. We're still going to be the guys that go out and put on one hell of a show night in, night out, and leave people with their jaws dropped because of what we're able to do inside that ring.
Right. Give them their money's worth, so to say. I mean, that's all we're doing. Yep. I'm with that. Hey, if you talk to Keith, man, let him know I'll reach out to him in the future, and I'm gonna. I got a lot of stuff booked right now as far as reporting for the shows, like through January. But man, I'd love to have him on, man. I get him on the show, and you know, he can talk about what he's. Yeah,
be prepared to talk about a lot of anime.
A lot of what?
anime. It's listen, I didn't know what it was until he was my tag partner, but I'm talking about it's like Japanese cartoons, but okay. Yeah, I mean, but it's legit though. Like, you know, like a Dragon Ball Z and all kind of stuff like that. That's all anime. That's all like a certain certain type of, you know, certain type of art.
Cool. That's his thing. That's good to know. Oh, yeah. But hey, let's start to wrap this thing up, man. Tell the people where to find you as far as like Twitter and Facebook and whatever other social media you got.
Oh, for sure. Facebook.com/NotoriousShaneTaylor. Also Twitter and Instagram at Shane216Taylor. Those are the numbers. You don't have to spell out 216.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywhere on there, you guys can find me. Look me up. Drop me a line. Say what's up. Please follow. And yeah, man, like that's all my social media stuff. And it's been a hell of a year, man. Hell of a year.
Hell of a year. Going to be a hell of a 2016. Keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep working on.
2016, January's already slated to be, you know, incredible. So I can only imagine what the rest of the new year is going to bring.
Yeah, you just got to, you know, you got it, man. You just got to keep working hard, man. And
absolutely.
Eventually, the breaks do come your way if you work hard enough, because you set yourself apart from the pack.
Exactly.
So yeah, man, keep it up, man. And I'll see you at the Wildcat show, man. I'll be in New Orleans that weekend. So
yes, sir. January 9th, back at the Grace King Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. If it ain't Wildcat, it ain't wrestling.
And Shane will be busting somebody's ass, so to say. He says he's gonna retain that title. So.
Always.
Hey, we didn't get to WrestleCade, but I know you won there, and we're running out of time. So, but man, I'll definitely bring you back in the future, man. That's one good thing about this.
Part two.
That's right. I haven't had to double up on guests yet. I've pretty much had a new person each week as we get into our 8th month doing this. But yeah, man, I'll definitely bring you back, and we'll definitely bring Keith on, and I will. We'll definitely do something in the future with you as well, as we get further updates later on down the line. But Shane, man, I appreciate you coming on, giving me some time, man. I tell everybody, no problem. I tell everybody that comes on, man, one of the most, you know, valuable things we have that you can't pay for is time. Like, you know, so whenever a guy gives me their time or a girl gives me their time on a show, I'm like, you know, always thanking for it, because it's the most valuable thing, man. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it. Well, look, Shane, hang tight real quick while you got anything else you want to plug before we get up out of here?
Yeah, man, just guys, continue, you know, to watch ROH, watch Wildcat Sports, you know, go to the YouTube, go to the Facebook, Ring of Honor, check out the videos, the Future of Honor videos from a couple weeks ago, with myself and Keith Lee versus Brutal Bob and Tim Hughes. Check out and like and comment on the promos and stuff, and just let Ring of Honor know that PBK is the future of Honor.
Okay, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast. Make sure you are following us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Also want to say thanks again to all of our sponsors, including AutoCentrics, including Better Choices, Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, and Teenage Wrestling Palace. Also, make sure you're checking out all the great articles on ProWrestlingOpinion.com from Nick Jason Lopez. He's got all your wrestling write-ups regarding all the shows that take place weekly, like Raw, like SmackDown, like Ring of Honor, TNA getting their kickoff tonight on Pop TV, and all that good stuff. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or on Stitcher, and make sure you rate us as well. Give us one of those 5-star reviews. We like it. When you subscribe, it makes sure that you don't miss our weekly episodes. So please, please, please do so. And then tell your friends about the show and share us on Facebook and like us on Twitter, share us on Facebook and all that good stuff. Also, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Go ahead and give us a like. Also, make sure you check out all the great shows I talked about related to January 15th. Hood Slam is in Reno, Nevada. Their cars are always stacked and always entertaining, but don't bring your effing kids, like we always say. January 9th, Metairie, Louisiana, Grace King High School, Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, 7 p.m. with ODB. Brian Kendrick is on that card, along with Wildcat Heavyweight Champion Shane Taylor, that we just finished talking to as he defends his title. And then lastly, I'm sorry. We got one more. We got January 16th Power Slam in Mississippi. And then we got also the huge card on January 16th out in Shawnee, Oklahoma at the Fire Lake Arena. This is the one Jim Ross has been talking about for weeks now on his podcast. He's been plugging it over and over as he continues to do so. Jim Ross, Scott Hall, Scott Steiner, EC3, X-Pac, Mickey James, James Storm, Chris Masters, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It is loaded. Jerry Lawler will also be there, so do not miss it. That's all we got this week. We will catch you next week on the show, where we will actually be previewing the January 16 card in Shawnee, Oklahoma, somewhat. And I'm talking to a longtime friend of mine who actually works for Imperial Wrestling Revolution that's having that card on January the 16th. I will be talking to Al Ferrat, who is playing a part in this on that card on January 16th at the Fire Lake Arena. Until next week, we'll catch you later.